Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 164. So if you'd like to see the show notes, you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and you can look for episode 164. And Casey's having a major case of deja vu because we've already recorded this episode one time. Casey had a lot going on this weekend, and so she's like, this is a couple weeks ago, if we can record two episodes, that would be really helpful to me because I'm kind of in a time crunch. And I was like, yeah, of course. We record the episodes, and then I deleted those files before I saved them anywhere else. So we're doing this episode again, but it's always new. It's always fresh. It doesn't feel like we've done it before.
Yes, we'll have fresh new answers.
Hopefully they'll be pretty much the same answers. But yeah. I was thinking about something else this morning, Casey. I was thinking about how in the intro I always say, please tell us where you're from, and we like to hear where people are from. And I've also noticed in the last few days that there has definitely been a shift. Like, knitting season has started in the U.S., in the Northern Hemisphere. And I can tell that that's happening because I get a lot more correspondence. I get a lot more questions. I get thank you notes. It's just like more interaction with people. More people are commenting on things. You know, people are knitting again in the Northern Hemisphere, which means that, you know, over the whole summer, I have felt like so connected to Australia because in the Southern Hemisphere, it's been their winter and they've been knitting and they're really active when they're knitting in the wintertime. And now I'm going to have to say goodbye to Australia a little bit because they're going to start their summertime things and then hello to the Northern Hemisphere again. And I pulled up on YouTube, I pulled up this list of the people who are watching my videos and where they're from. And I thought it was interesting. I know you love this kind of stuff, Casey. Your stats. Okay. Number one, people watching my videos are from the U.S., you know, it's not surprising, right?
Right.
But then after that is Canada. And so
we knew that.
We knew we had a pretty good guess from where people are coming from. And, you know, it does make sense that the first few countries are going to be mostly English-speaking countries, right?
Right.
So U.S., Canada, then the U.K., then Australia. And I wanted this list because I want to look at this list again, maybe deep into December, to see if Australia drops a little bit below because they're knitting less. And this is just straight up views. This is not any kind of, how would you say it, Casey? It's not aggregated to the population. Does that make any sense?
Right.
Yeah. Was that a good statistical sentence that I just made?
Well, I don't know. Aggregated makes sense, but it's just the views that you get.
Just the straight up views. Okay. So U.S., Canada, U.K., Australia, then India, Germany, Netherlands, Italy, Sweden, Norway, New Zealand, France, Japan, Brazil, Spain, Denmark, South Africa, South Korea, Turkey, Ireland, Mexico, Finland, Greece, Taiwan, Egypt, Vietnam. Should I keep going?
Wow.
Pakistan, that's cool. Indonesia, Belgium. What is Belgium doing way down here with all of these Asian countries?
I know. I was thinking about Denmark.
The rest of Northern Europe is higher on the list. Maybe they have their own YouTube people.
They're just born knowing.
Singapore, Poland, Portugal. You know, it's funny. Portugal's way down on this list because it seems like they're really active in the questions, doesn't it?
Yeah. Maybe they're just chatty.
Malaysia, Russia, Hong Kong, Romania, Philippines, Israel, Switzerland, They know who they are. We know who they are. Iceland, Hungary, Thailand, Chile, Austria. There's Austria way down the list, too. And Germany is up at the top of the list. Argentina, Peru, Slovakia, Saudi Arabia, and United Arab Emirates. And they're at the bottom of the list with just 637 video views in the last 28 days. So I thought that list was cool. But I do want to see in the top few if, you know, changing from the warmer weather to the colder weather, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, if anything's going to change with the views. Because I've never dived that much into stats like this, even though
yeah, it's fun.
You think so.
It's just fun to, you know, think about the story behind all that.
Yeah, I think so. And the first time we recorded this episode, I did not read off all those countries. So brand new, fresh episode. Well, we can start magically turning some knitting questions into knitting answers, unless you have something else before we start.
I do not.
You do not?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, let's do this thing.
Unless you want to talk about ACL, and I'll make the whole episode about it. But
oh, wait.
We are not a music podcast.
We're not a music podcast, but one of the reasons that you wanted to record a couple episodes at once, the ones that I deleted, was because you were going to be busy at Austin City Limits. We are the live music capital of the world here. And who did you see?
I saw Lizzo. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And everybody in the whole park was there watching her.
Yeah.
We don't know about her. Don't just listen to her music. Like, see her perform.
Watch her.
She's just such a fun human being.
Yeah.
The Cure is my favorite. That's really the reason why I wanted to go. And just a bunch of other bands. There's this girl named Sigrid, I think is how you say it. She's from, she's Norwegian.
Yeah.
She's adorable. And I've been listening to her music over and over. So just a bunch of people. It's just fun just to be there and walk around and hear all different kinds of music and stuff.
Yeah, I just wrote down Sigrid so I can, I'm not familiar with her at all, but I'll check it out.
Yeah. Kind of poppy, kind of.
Were you there both Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I had actually 3 days, but Friday it was actually kind of cold and rainy, you know?
Yeah.
And my friend that came with me was only coming for Saturday, Sunday, and so I knew somebody going on Friday, but not very well. So I was like, I don't want to go by myself just to see Guns N' Roses, which was probably really good. But yesterday I was so tired. I was like, I could never have made it.
3 days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, you get home. I mean, we were home by 10:30, 11, and it wasn't that. It's just standing around.
Standing up all day. Yeah. Yeah. It's like working
retail. But it's super fun. If anybody's ever thought about coming, it's such a great place and a great show and fun.
Yep, big deal here. And you know, I live in South Austin, and on the neighborhood, I'm always talking about the neighborhood board or next door, because there's always so much activity going on. But people were saying, who is having the big party this weekend? What is happening? And it turns out, even though I live miles south, the wind was blowing in the right direction. I could hear ACL with my doors and windows closed.
Like, oh, yeah, I bet.
In my house. And that's never happened before. You know, I've lived in this house for a while. That's never happened before. But so maybe I heard The Cure, too. Maybe I heard Lizzo, too. I don't know.
Well,
very cool.
Super fun. You were probably hearing Lizzo in the crowd for Lizzo.
Oh, maybe.
Because they didn't know. Like, when they booked them, like, a year in advance, she was just kind of on the upcoming. And so they didn't really know. So they put her on a smaller stage. And so she's just exploded over the last few months. So she was, last week, she was so big that this week, when they knew she was going to be big again, they projected her on the small stage where she was, but also on the big stage next to her. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was huge. It was awesome. I felt bad because Third Eye Blind was like playing on the big stage right before her. And so everybody was gathering for her and like standing sideways in front of Third Eye Blind.
Oh, no, not really paying attention to the band.
And they're like, this is amazing. There's so many of you out there. And I'm like, dude, they're not for you.
Oh. Yeah, well.
Sorry,
Third Eye Blind. She is definitely having, she's a definitely moment. Really pop. I've only just heard about her in the last few months, but I don't pay attention to new music very much at all.
Yeah.
But I've definitely heard about her and seen the video with the big butt.
The booty.
I thought that was great. Yeah.
Yeah. She's all about body positivity. And she said, don't let them take this from us.
Yeah.
Don't let them turn it into brunch.
Turn it into
trend.
Oh, I
like
see.
A trend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, it was super fun. So back to knitting.
Yes. This episode is sponsored by Native. Take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. Have you detoxed your armpits yet? If Casey and I could do it through a Texas summer, anyone can do it anytime. She and I have both been using Native Natural deodorants, and it's a great product. It's formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's filled with ingredients found in nature, such as coconut oil, shea butter, which is a moisturizer and emollient, and tapioca starch, which absorbs wetness. They never test on animals, and they offer free shipping and returns. This product totally works. Making the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean having to sacrifice on products product performance. You can test it out for yourself. They have something for everyone. Native comes in a wide variety of enticing scents for men and women. Plus, they release new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year. They have an unscented formula and a baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. And their classic scents are coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, and cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. There's actually a last one. I'm using cucumber and mint, and it is a light, nice, clean smell that I don't really smell throughout the day. It's just I can just smell it when I put it on pretty much, but then the deodorant just does its job the rest of the day. I am really happy with this product. Casey and I have been talking about it. We've both made the switch from antiperspirant to deodorant, and it, for me, it was a kind of a 3 week long process, I'd say, of making the switch, my body adjusting to the new thing. But now I've been using it for a few months and I'm totally happy with it. If you want to give it a try, you can get 20% off your first purchase by visiting nativedeodorant.com and using the promo code VERYPINK during checkout. That's 20% off your first purchase. Nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code VERYPINK during checkout. And I will have a link to Native and the promo code in the show notes.
I'll just read the next question.
Okay.
First question. Hi, Casey and Stacy. Do you have any advice on matching notions to yarn? I love knitting sweaters, but after I've made something and I'm looking for the right buttons to go with it, I have trouble finding something that matches well. What am I doing wrong? Should I be buying my notions first and picking a yarn that matches the buttons? Do I need to buy polymer clay to make my own buttons? How do other people do this? Thanks, Jay from Virginia.
Hi, Jay from Virginia. Making your own polymer buttons is another craft. For me, it would just take away from my knitting time, but that's certainly an option. I never have a problem matching buttons, and it's because I don't really go to the fabric store anymore to get buttons. I pretty much look for button sellers on Etsy, and there are people that is their life. They sell buttons on Etsy, and they have 8 billion, and you can do a search for buttons, even the color and the exact size that you need. So the search results will only be the size that you need, and then just start shopping from there or start filtering it down from there for color or the material or whatever else. I never have a problem. Casey, what do you do?
Yeah, I was going to say open your mind to new buttons. Like, you don't have to be matchy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I really like the wood buttons.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those are on Etsy or... You know,
like, yeah, and then wood buttons, all you have to really do is get a size, because the color, I mean, wood matches everything, right? You can even put dark wood buttons on a light colored sweater or the other way around.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, my cat just walked across the keyboard. So there's some new words in our notes with the questions.
We're sharing a document right now with the questions. And, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, super obnoxious. Yeah, so I would just say just be a little more open to not being matchy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think we talked about the button store before. We heard how fun the button stores are.
Well, wasn't it that your husband used to have to go to a button store when he was a kid?
Yeah, we were talking about the thing that we all had to do when we were kids that we hated, but now it's fun.
Now the button store is fun, yeah.
I don't know if he likes the button store, but I would love to go to the button store.
Yes. I would like to go to a button store too, especially one that had like antique buttons and
you
know, not just new packaged buttons or whatever, but cool thing. Yeah, I could spend all day in the button store, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Hello, lovely ladies. I'm a bit perplexed. I wanted to knit my first hat to go with a cowl I made, and the pattern called for 16-inch circulars. Well, I attached my 16-inch cord to my KP Royal needles, and it was too long for the 72 stitches. I couldn't join in the round. I figured the needles were too long, so I bought 16-inch needles and I still couldn't join. So since at this point the store was closed and I was frustrated, I added 18 stitches and a large sip of wine in order to join and pray. Can you see my cat?
Yes.
I'm fighting with my cat while reading this.
Yeah, that's question. Not easy. You're doing a good job.
I added 18 stitches and a large sip of wine in order to join and pray my first hat won't be too big. Is this a common problem? If I was to stay with the cast on, I would have had to go to 9-inch needles. I don't see how it would be possible to use 16-inch for this cast on. Stacy, you knit tons of hats. What are your thoughts? Carrie in New Hartford, New York.
Hi, Carrie. Yes, I knit tons of hats, and I can help you with this question. First of all, it sounds like you took some regular interchangeable needles and attached a 16-inch cord. That is not a great combination. The needles that we use was 16, or to make 16-inch needles, the cord is actually shorter than that. The needles are shorter, so that they will fit around in the tiny little 16-inch circle. And the longer needles make it almost impossible to knit with, because your needles are always going to be at too sharp of an angle for most of us to knit comfortably. So you want to get either a fixed set of 16-inch circulars or the shorter interchangeable needles that are made to make 16-inch circulars. Okay, that said, getting on to the next thing, your 72-stitch cast-on was too tight to fit around. That is totally normal. That happens. Cast-ons aren't usually as stretchy as the rest of the hat, and so when you first cast on, the joining in the round with the cast-on and the first few rows often is tight, and you can do a little magic loop trick about just pulling the extra cord out so that it does fit around, work those first few rounds, and then everything will fit. 72 stitches, depending on the weight of yarn you're using, should fit around. And 16-inch circulars are big enough for an adult hat. 16-inch circulars are even big enough for kids' hats for the most part. Just baby hats need to be knit on shorter circulars. So I'm going to give you a link to the video is called something like tight circular something, and how I worked the little magic loop thing the first few rounds if your cast on is too tight. So there is, I do have a video on this, and then also the answer with the shorter needles for the shorter cords. Did I get it, Casey?
I think so.
I think I answered it better this time than I did last time.
I know. Maybe we should do all episodes twice.
We'll do them all twice. We'll be so good. So good at answering. I would hope that just like with 50 plus years of knitting, that not 50, 45 plus years of knitting, that I'm good at answering these questions without a rehearsal.
Yeah. Okay. I am a new listener, and I am binge listening while knitting a vintage car coat for my little granddaughter. I was listening to episode 15 where you were talking about steaming, which reminded me of an issue I've had before. And with this current project, I see happening again. I have 11 rows of seed stitch for the bottom band, and then with the same needles and same number of stitches, I continue a stocking knit for the body, and now I am 10 inches into the body and the band is flipped up. This happened before, and after blocking, the band kept flipping up. Am I doing something wrong? How do I get these bands to lay flat? It doesn't happen on ribbing, but the seed stitch does it every time. Thanks, and I love the podcast and your videos. Laura from Abbotsford, British Columbia, Canada.
Hi, Laura. Well, seed stitch, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not going to start rolling from the very edge of the work, but it can flip up where the seed stitch stops and the stockinette starts. I can totally understand what you're saying. I think it's probably, the reason this is happening has more to do with the needle yarn combination and the gauge that you're knitting. If your knitting is a little bit tight, it's more likely to flip up like that. And it could totally be that you are using the right weight of yarn and that you're getting perfect gauge, whatever else. But if you're not using the yarn that the pattern actually called for and your yarn is ever so slightly thicker, then you're going to get a little bit of a tighter gauge. Just the thicker yarn is going to create a tighter fabric. The gauge is going to be correct. The fabric's going to be tighter. You're more likely to have something like that happen. Full-on wet blocking should help with that. And then once the whole sweater is finished and there's actually the weight of the whole sweater happening, sometimes that corrects it. But I'm thinking that it's going to be the tightness of the fabric and how that's happening. Casey, do you have any ideas here?
No. I've had that happen before.
Yeah. Usually once you wet block, if it's wool, it's going to block out. It's going to be okay. Isn't that the answer we give to a lot of things? Like if you're knitting out of wool, wet blocking is going to save the day.
Yeah,
that's what happens a lot. Wool is awesome that way.
Yeah. It's not because it's too tight or anything like that?
Well, I'm thinking it's because
it's a little different.
No, I'm thinking that her gauge is probably right on. It doesn't matter if her gauge is right on or not. If her yarn is just a little bit thicker, then it's going to create a tighter fabric with the gauge being perfect, and that causes all kinds of problems.
Okay.
As I sit knitting and listening to your podcast, so many questions are answered, but then strange things come to mind. My question is about cleaning knitting needles. I'm currently knitting on some aluminum ones that are feeling very sticky, so I wiped them down with rubbing alcohol. No idea why I chose that, and they still feel sticky. Do you recommend cleaning your needles occasionally, and with what? I have aluminum, vintage plastic, bamboo, and old metal ones. I think this is the same Laura from BC, Canada.
Hi again, Laura from BC, Canada. Canada are I can't say the words. The country second on the list that watches my videos the most. That's not a tidy way of saying what I was just going to say. Okay. I'm going to get to the second question first. I don't regularly clean my needles, but there has never really been a reason to. But Laura had something sticky on her needles and she used rubbing alcohol. And I would think that that would work. I would think that that would be a fine thing to use to get something sticky off your needles. Maybe not the greatest choice for bamboo or wood, because you could dry them out. Or I suppose there's a chance that rubbing alcohol might actually remove the finish on something. But yeah. If I had something sticky, I would probably just try soap and water. Wouldn't you think that would work, Casey? Yeah. Just like whatever I would use to get sticky off my hands.
Yeah. I just can't imagine why your needles would get sticky.
Maybe she has children and jam sandwiches or something.
She's eating jam sandwiches while knitting.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I can imagine why needles would get sticky. And also sometimes plastic that's aging. She has some vintage plastic needles. Yeah. Plastic that's aging can sometimes do weird things like get sticky.
Yeah.
So that's entirely possible.
I bought some needles when I first started knitting off of eBay, like a lot, and somebody had like wrapped them in masking tape over years. So.
Oh no. What did you do?
I don't know. I mean, it was just, you know, those really cheap plastic kind of hollow needles.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I probably used rubbing alcohol.
You probably did use rubbing alcohol. I'm thinking of old masking tape. You can probably just use your thumbnail and scrape it off too.
Yeah, I think that's what I mostly did.
Yeah. But I don't regularly clean my needles. I've never had a need to. Not that they're super clean or anything, but I think sometimes the oil from your hands actually makes the needles better.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Casey, that's all we have time for this week. It snuck up on us.
It did.
It totally snuck up on me. If people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com, and that's the letter K and the letter C.
Very good. Thank you. And if you want to find me online, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And that is it for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.